You turn with me please to the book of Hebrews, towards the end of the Bible, and read a couple verses there in Hebrews. I've been going through Hebrews in my own readings, and this has been something that I've been thinking about the last couple of days here, this verse in Hebrews chapter 9, please. And we will break into a verse in the middle of the verse, Hebrews 9, verse 26. It says, and we sang about this in our first hymn, he has appeared at the end of the age. It says, but now, once at the end of the age of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who wait for him, eagerly wait for him, he will appear the second time, apart from sin, for salvation. May God bless this word to us, his precious word. We've been reading here of, I want to speak about three things that have been on my heart in these verses, three things that I want to bring out from these verses. The first one is sin and its dreadful consequences. Sin. So all three of them start with S. Sin. We read about all three of them here. Sin. We read of a Savior. And we also read of salvation. And we sang of all three of them as well. We sang of these things, our sin, and that is the message of the gospel, is that we, each one of us, have a need. We, each one of us, have a problem, a real problem, with which we are born with. Each one of us are born on the broad road. Each one of us are born in sin. And it happened back in Genesis, when God created man. He created Adam, and he told Adam, if of all the trees of the garden, God made a beautiful garden. And he said, of each tree in the garden, you may freely eat. You can freely eat of every tree except for this one tree. This one tree, God said, you shall not eat of it. And God said that the day you eat of it, you will surely die. You will for sure die if you eat of that tree. But all the rest of them, you can freely eat. So then the Lord made Eve as well. And so then Satan came one day and says, has God truly said? He says, did he truly say? He says, if you eat of the, he says, you shall not surely die. Satan came and deceived Eve and said, you shall not surely die if you eat of the tree. But God said, you shall die if you eat of it. And so Eve took of the fruit and gave to Adam. And Adam bit, and the Bible says, and sin entered into the world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has to pass upon all of us, because each one of us have sinned. And we read here of sin in these verses, the great problem of our sin before a holy and righteous God in heaven. And that's so we think of the need of, as we read in these verses, that sin needs to be put away. Our sin, before we can ever be in God's heaven, my sin, my guilt, needs to be removed from me. I cannot come into heaven, into God's heaven, with my sin still on me. It needs to be put away. And your sin on you, it needs to be put away from you before you can ever come into God's holy heaven. The Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. He is three times holy. He is so far different than we are. He is high and holy. And he cannot look upon sin. It says God loves righteousness and he hates our sin. So God, and that's what happened in the garden when God said to man, you shall surely die if you eat of this one tree, if you eat of it. And man disobeyed God. They went against God's word. And what happened is there was a fellowship. God enjoyed spending time with man. Before sin came into the world, God enjoyed relationship. He enjoyed walking with man. But then when sin came in and man disobeyed God, all of a sudden there was a barrier. There was something between you and God. There's a great sin separated the fellowship. God could no longer have fellowship with man because sin had come in and has severed that fellowship. But man is the one that sinned against God. It is man that turned away from God. God was good to man. He loves man. But man chose their own way to go against God. And it says it's because of that. It just shows the holiness of God. Before sin came, God could dwell with man. But the moment sin came in and there was disobedience, there was sin, there was a separation. God could not have fellowship anymore with sin. So God not only couldn't have fellowship with man anymore, he actually put man out of his presence. He put him away from him. Man, the sin that was still on man, God had to put man away from his presence because of this issue that we have, this problem of sin that we have. So God is one that, and man is the one that has turned away from God. And the consequences of that, we've read of this in these verses here, is we think of sin and its root. So our very nature, it speaks of sin and sins in the verses that we've read. You see, Christ came to put away sin, and he bore the sins of many. So the sins is the guilt, and sin is the nature, the sin nature that we have. It's because when you look at it, and I love this analogy of a tree, for example, an apple tree, it doesn't become an apple tree when it bears the apples. It bears the apples because it has always been, by nature, an apple tree. If it was by nature an orange tree, it would not bear apples. But by its root, what it actually is what it produces. And it's the same with our sin. It is we are by our very nature sin. It says by Adam, by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So we see each one of us, we are sinners because of we were born with a sinful nature. The Bible says that each one of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. David said he was conceived in the womb in sin. So we see it doesn't take long for each child that is born to produce sins because of the nature that they have. And that is a great problem. God hates our sin. He hates sin. He's angry with sin. And also, we think of our guilt. It's not just our nature is sinful, but the sins that we commit, we will have to be judged for. The sins that we commit against God are the sins that we're going to be held accountable for one day. One day. And so this verse here, the sin, I want to speak on verse 27. Verse 27, it says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So this here speaks of death. And we've been thinking of sin, its root, the nature of sin. We've been thinking of sins in the fact that because of our sins are, it says each one of us have sinned, the Bible says. For all have sinned, it says each one of us, not one of us is exempt. It says for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God has declared, God has said, the God of heaven who is holy, who knows our thoughts, who knows our heart, he has said He has said that each one of us have sinned. God says. So that's not my words, but God's word. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of his glory. So God has a perfect and a holy standard. And we read of the Ten Commandments. He says, you shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not have covetousness. Desire something that is not yours. We've either done that by our action or by our hearts, our thoughts. Even our thoughts. Jesus says that whosoever shall look upon someone, just by looking at someone with lust, we've committed adultery in our hearts. He says if you hate another person without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart. And the Lord Jesus, who is God himself, he came here and he knows what man is like. He is God manifested in the flesh. He came here. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus, he is Emmanuel, God with us. So he comes down here, and God cannot lie. God knows all things. He sees right through us. And the Lord Jesus, he says of us, of each one of us, he opens us up, and he makes a diagnostic of us. And he says, our very hearts, he says, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, pride, foolishness. The Lord Jesus says, all of those things come from within the heart and defile the man. So we see that's where the problem is. Right away we see there is a real problem, and we know that's where the problem is, because it comes, we can't help it. It just flows out, even out of our mouths. It says out of the mouth proceeds what is in our hearts, and it comes wickedness, and all these things come out of our mouths because our hearts are defiled. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. You often hear people saying, just follow your heart wherever it goes. And the heart is the most deceitful thing. The heart is, the Bible says, God's word says, that our hearts are deceitful, they lie to us, above all things, and desperately wicked, man's heart. So we see that there is the problem, is God's standard is so holy, you shall not lie, you shall not covet, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. All of these things, God says, this is his holy standard. But each one of us have shot, and it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've actually missed the mark. We've, each one of us, I'm included, such a sinner before God, just fallen short of his holy standard. And my sin, we each one of us have to be accountable to God for our sins. And this verse here says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this life here, after death, there's a judgment coming. That's what the Bible says. God's word says this. So the Bible says, flee from the wrath to come, to flee, to turn and run as fast as you can away from the wrath to come, because God's wrath is abiding. It's over the ones that sin. If we die, if each one of us dies in our sin, we die with this weight of sin, this guilt of the sins that we have committed, and we die and we go from this earth, we pass from this earth, it says we die, and we go out into eternity with our sins still on us. It says there is wrath, there is God's anger, there is judgment coming on this. God does not delight to punish man for their sin. God delights to take away sin. God loves to take away your sin. God doesn't delight in judgment, in judging you. He delights in having mercy towards you. He delights in forgiveness, to remove your sins, to have a relationship with him. That is the purpose of the gospel, is God has done an amazing work. God has done made provision for each one of us to have our sins, which are many, the problem that we have, to be remedied, to be taken away, and to have a right standing with him again, to have this relationship with God, our sins gone, the one barrier that we have between us taken away, and having an open heaven, his love for us. But our sins have to be taken away. And the problem is, why do people not turn to the Lord to get rid of their sins? Because Jesus, the Lord Jesus says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men love their sin. And instead of turning from their sin, turning and running, fleeing from the wrath to come, and flying to the arms of the Savior, they will continue on in their sin in this habitual way without repentance, without turning around and seeing that their sin, actually, though it may seem pleasurable for the moment, it says the deceitfulness of sin. It offers a little momentary pleasure, but it ends in destruction. It ends in everlasting perdition, everlasting destruction forever and ever from this good God, this wonderful things. He gives us so many good things, life and breath and all these wonderful things. But one day we're going to be cast. And the Bible says this judgment, after this judgment, behind me on this side here, you can see death, hell, and then a lake of fire at the end of life. So the Bible says in Revelations, it says, is God serious about sin? Yes, God is very serious about sin. And after people, at the very end of the age, death, hell will be brought up, and every person who is not saved, who have never had their sins forgiven, will be judged according to their works. So every work, everything that man has ever done, from the most wicked person to the ones who seemingly have not sinned as much, each one will be brought before God, and they will be judged according to their works. And it says, and there'll be no place found for them. They'll be standing before the great judge, no more hiding behind something or someone, but they'll be left exposed, just like Adam was. The Lord came to Adam and he found Adam in the garden at the very start of the age. And at the very end, man again will be held accountable by God. God will come again and each one will be held accountable. Just like Adam was held accountable and Eve was held accountable, but both of them tried to hide behind someone or something else. Each one of us, it says, will be found bare before God with nothing to stand on, just us and God and our sin. And God is going to judge. And God does not delight in this. This is going to be because God has offered salvation that we talked about. God has offered on this side of heaven, while we're still alive, God comes and pleads with people and pleads with them and says, sin is going to destroy you. Sin is going to leave you at the end in judgment. And you're going to be left exposed under my judgment. But I don't delight in this. I delight in mercy. I have done a work. I have given my only begotten Son, who I love. God says, the Bible says, he spared not his own Son. He did not spare his own Son, but he delivered him up. He gave him up for us all, every single one of us, every single one of us, for us all, the Bible says, each one of us, God gave his Son as a love gift, as a gift to remove our sins and to have a relationship with him. This relationship that we can have, but our sins can be put away. And verse 26 here says, but now, once at the end of the age, he the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared on this earth for what purpose? It says, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Here's God manifested in the flesh. God is now revealed as a man. It's the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And how different is this one, the Lord Jesus, than any other man? It says from Adam, back in Adam, right till now, right to the end, it says death reigned and sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But the Lord Jesus Christ was virgin birth. He was born of a woman made under the law to redeem us, which were under the law, the Bible says. That he came and he is, the Bible says that he is holy. He is God. He cannot sin. And his life proved that he couldn't sin. All those years when he was raised as a boy, as a child, in Nazareth, he was brought up. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth all these years. There was not one sin that ever marked his person. Not one sin. So much so that God, when he was baptized, each person that was baptized, when John the Baptist baptized them, each person went down and they came up confessing their sins. But when the Lord Jesus came up, there were no sins to confess. He was a holy man, holy, never sinned. And God from heaven opened up heaven and says, this, speaking of Jesus, his beloved son, this is my beloved son, beloved son in whom I am well pleased. With each other man, God was not well pleased because of sin. But with this man, Jesus of Nazareth, God manifest in the flesh, he was well pleased. God has put a smile upon him. He says, look at him. And tonight, that's what I want to do, is behold Jesus Christ. Behold him in all of his sinlessness. Each one of us, we've said, have sin. But he has no sin. The scripture says, in him, in Jesus, is no sin. In his person. Like in us, there is sin. But in him is no sin. Never, ever any sin. It says, as far as our guilt is concerned, as far as committing sin, it says he did no sin by his actions. So in him, in his person, in his nature, there is no sin. In his actions, he did no sin, the Bible says. Jesus himself says, which one of you convinces me of sin? Is there anyone? Is there anyone in the theater that can convince me of sin? There was no one. Even there at the very before Pilate and before Herod, when the Lord Jesus was brought before Pilate and before Herod, Pilate could try him, could test him. Three times he could say, I find no fault in this man. There is nothing in this man of any fault, of any charge of sin in him to be put to death. So this is the one that we declare before you. This is the one, the Holy One. His life is holy. His spotless life. There is no blemish nor spot in him. But his perfect life, we read of this one, has appeared. It's not only his life that could save us. His life on this earth was necessary to come here and to fulfill the word of God, to become a real man, to walk in our shoes, as it were, to experience what we experience on this earth, to be a real man, tested in real ways, apart from sin, with no sin. It was necessary for 33 years, exactly my age, 33 years the Lord Jesus walked here. And it's hard to fathom for even an hour going without sin. Even a few minutes going without sinful thoughts or sinful sin just reigns in us. It's part of us. But for 33 spotless, sinless years, there was no sin in him. And so here, that's why he is the one that was offered up on the cross. It is the cross that we sang about earlier. The cross, the wondrous cross. Was there the Savior died. It was on the cross, it says, where he appeared. That's the purpose of why he came. The Lord Jesus says, it is for this cause, for this reason, to go to the cross, to take away our sins, that he came into the world. For that very reason, and that's the culmination of everything, is on the cross, he says here, that he appeared for that purpose, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is not cheap. This is not something that is just cheap, that doesn't cost anything. If we see how serious sin is, we think of that link that was broken by sin, the fellowship back in the Garden of Eden where Adam was, when he sinned, that fellowship was broken. And when we see for it to be mended again, for the relationship to be brought together again, to a seamless relationship again, with nothing between, look at what it costs God. Is there judgment for sin? I've been saying earlier, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. People might say, oh, it sounds, God is like this soft God. He's soft. He's just all grace. He's going to overlook our sin. He's so gracious. Well, we look at this sacrifice. We look at the cost. Was God easy on his son? Was he kind of overlooking sin? No, he sent his son, and there was judgment on him. He says, the Lord Jesus says, my God, on the cross, he's hanging there. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my roaring, my groaning? He says, I cry in the daytime while on the cross. It was light outside the first 3 hours on the cross. He says, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear. And he says, and then the whole earth was covered in darkness. The Bible says the sun, the very light of the sun was darkened. Not only was there, and like an eclipse, there was the whole sun was darkened while God put upon his son our sins. Look at your sin. It was all placed by God upon him. It says here, he says, I cry in the nighttime. He says, I cry in the daytime and you don't hear, and in the night season and am not silent. So he is going through this, the cross, and it says he is suffering. It says here how he is one that is, the Bible says how he, Christ once suffered. He suffered for sins. There was suffering on the cross. He bore the judgment. God did not hold back. God did not hold back his judgment. His judgment, which one day will fall upon you and me if we don't trust in the Savior, it will fall upon us with all of its vengeance. And it will not be diluted. It will not be held back because God must punish sin. God hates our sin. And on the cross, God did not hold back judgment. God did not hold it back and say, because it's my son, I will hold back a little bit. I'm not going to know. The Lord Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken. There was no holding back. There was a turning away. And while he punished him, he says, the Bible says in the Old Testament, years before, many, many years before the Lord Jesus came into this world, it describes the cross. It describes what the Lord Jesus went through on the cross. In Isaiah 53, it says, he was almost speaking of as in past tense, as if it had already happened. But God was predicting this. This was all still future, that the Son of God would come, that was many hundreds of years before Christ came, he says that one day on the cross, that he says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace, this fellowship that we can have with God, this cleared heaven, this relationship restored, our peace came at a cost. The punishment of our peace was placed upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. God did not hold back judgment. God hates sin, and he has judged it. He has put it away by the sacrifice of Christ. That is the sacrifice. That is God's offer to you tonight. Is it says here, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So earlier we spoke of sin and its consequences, its root problem, its effect it's had on us, death and judgment. But then we've also spoken of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer to put away our sin because he himself bore it. It says he bore it. In the next verse, it says in verse 28, it says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To bear the sins of many. And you tonight can come here. You've come into this building. And if you are not saved, if you are not forgiven, if you still have the burden of your sin on you, and the sin is still on you, the guilt of your sin is still on you, you can walk out here having that burden lifted. Because it says here, so Christ, he is the one that we offer, a person that we preach, Jesus Christ, the living person, he says he was offered once on the cross to bear the sins of who? To bear the sins of many. So you are part of the many. You can say, I am one of those many. He came to bear my judgment. He came to bear the sins of many, the sins, the guilt. It's not his own sins, because Jesus, the Lord Jesus, never committed any sins. So you see, he came to bear upon himself in his own body, the Bible says. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So we can look to him, and there our sins were placed upon him. And God can say, my peace, it can have, you're healed. Because the punishment of our peace was upon him. And it says, by his stripes we are healed. He bore the sins of many. And it says, to those who eagerly wait for him, for Christ from heaven, he will appear the second time, apart from sin for salvation. So he's not going to come for us in judgment. To us who look for him, who've trusted in him, who put our faith in him, will he fail us? No, he will never fail. If you come to him, if you trust in him, he will come for you for salvation. There's going to be no sin to judge you for. He's going to come. He will come. He will make it a personal prerogative to come for you for salvation. You will be saved. You will have a Savior. And that's why we were saying earlier, salvation for the guilty, each one of us who've committed sins, salvation for the lost, salvation for the wretched, the sad and sorrow-tossed. It's not salvation for the righteous. It's not salvation for the religious. It's not, the Lord Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but I came for sinners. So if we qualify, like I'm a sinner, but it says when we were yet without strength, when we are helpless, when we're in our sins, it says in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the sinners, those who couldn't help themselves, those who were down and out in sin. Those are the ones he came to save. And we just turn to him. He will say, he says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He will never reject you, nor eject you. He will never cast you away. If you come to him, come to him. Come to the Lord Jesus. He will glorious to receive you. He will not turn you away. Come with just the way you are, with your sin, in repentance, turning to him, saying, I can't save myself. And my sin is going to destroy me. My sin will leave me, as it says, as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, a judgment. I don't want to be judged, but Christ was judged. He bore the sins of many. And coming to him, he will receive you. He will gloriously receive you. And you can be saved. You can be gloriously saved tonight. So our sin, the Savior, and we can walk away with salvation from our sins with the Savior. He says to the thief on the cross, when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, there, in the, before he said it is finished, there's this thief, this criminal, that was next to the Lord Jesus. There was one on the right side, and there was another on the left side. And we heard this morning how the Lord Jesus was in the midst of them. He was in the middle of the transgressors. And one of them spoke against Christ. They both spoke against him. They both were speaking evil against him at the start. But then after a while, one of them had a change of heart. He had a change of heart about this man, the Lord Jesus. He changed his mind about him. He repented of his thoughts towards this man. And he only had a few hours to live, likely not very long. He knew he was going to die. He turns to the Lord Jesus and he says to us, Lord, remember me. The one who has before spoken against him now had a heart, change of heart. And there instantly says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said to him, this is what he's going to say to you if you turn to him. Just like this thief, couldn't do anything good, couldn't get baptized, couldn't change his life around, had no time. He just turned to him with all of his sin before. He was going out to a lost eternity with his sin. He turns to Christ at the very end of his life and he says, Lord, remember me. Remember me. And the Lord Jesus said to him, today, not in a long time, but today you will be with me in paradise. Christ receives sinful men. He receives sinners. The Bible says he receives the sinful men who turn to him for salvation. He only has grace. He has mercy because he personally became accountable for those sins of the sinner. He says, I took those sins upon myself and I bore the judgment of hell for all eternity, for the one who turns from Christ, who turns away from him. It says, but Christ, he bore to the fully, completely, he bore. He says, it is finished. It is finished. There's nothing left. He took it all. Every bitter drop of our sin, he drank it all, the whole cup of wrath. And you can see there's mercy. There is grace. Come, he says. I will save you. You don't have to go out to this lost eternity. I love you. He says, the Bible says, Paul said, the apostle says, the Son of God who loved me, he loved me so much so that he gave himself for me. Not an angel, not some other, a different sacrifice, but he gave himself. He could not give more. God gave himself, stepped down from heaven. The Bible says he appeared on this earth. God came down to deal with my problem, to deal with my sin, and he dealt with it completely. There's nothing left for me and you to do, just to turn and receive the fullness of his grace, receive the fullness of the sacrifice of Christ, and receive the very person of Christ, the very real and living person. You receive a person. We're preaching a living person. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Believes in him, in a person. Forget yourself. Turn your eyes upon him. Look to him. Believe in him fully. Put all your confidence in him. It says, whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life. So may God bless to you. May you be saved. May you not walk out of here unsaved. Because the Bible says, there's one last warning. It says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? How shall we get away from God if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect so great salvation, if we neglect, we reject God's salvation, how shall we escape? Where shall we escape to? Where shall we escape from? Where to? Because one day we'll stand before him. We will stand before him, and we will be accountable. So there's going to be no escape. But God doesn't want that. He says, he that rejects Christ, rejects him, neglects him, puts him away, doesn't want him. There is no remedy. God has nothing else of his great to look at the God of the cross and to turn away from him. There is no remedy. God has no other option. And so the Bible says, he that believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he that does not believe the Son, the Christ rejecter, shall not see life. There is no life to be seen apart from Christ. But the wrath of God abides upon him. God's wrath, his anger, is resting. It's resting upon you. Not his forgiveness, but his anger if you reject his Son. So he says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of us. No one. Completely, exclusively, not one person comes to the Father but by him. Only through him, through Christ, can come to the Father. He's the one that takes away our sin. May God bless. Let's close in prayer.